B-Pod Studios.
Noon Hour brought to you by Goldenberg's Peanut Chews. Delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. And we have, of course, Anthony, a tub of Goldenberg's Peanut Chews for the best caller of the Noon Hour in partnership with the Eagles. Serving fans delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. Best caller of the hour will score that tub of Peanut Chews. So how about that? 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in line for the Peanut Chews and, of course, some conversation. Let's head to Charlottesville. Talk to Michael on the Fanatic. Hey, Michael.
Hey,
Mike.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, brother.
Man, I wanted to call in and talk about Wentz, man. Like, because I agree with y'all. Anyone who's an Eagles fan or so-called Eagles fan that is downing our guy Carson is absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane.
I just don't see it, you know? I mean, listen, you can criticize him, but what for?
Do you know on multiple NFL polls, he's playing like the top three, top five quarterback.
Well, right Pro now. Football Focus ranked him number one with his 86 score. Yeah.
And you look at a game and you look at those stats and you look at those ratings and you're talking about a game that there were seven drops, two could have been for a game winning touchdown. It's absolutely insane. How can you blame the quarterback for that?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure it out. Like, not that he's
mystery
off,
of life.
That he's off limits for criticism. But, you know, listen, yeah. If he fails, then he fails.
But, yeah, so I don't like that. That. If you're an Eagles fan and you're doing that, you're not a real Eagles fan in my eyes. I don't know.
Could it possibly be that Nick Foles having won the Super Bowl, it's just a lingering effect? It's not about, like, the... It's a Folesian thing. Is it just...
It's like the rebound. It's the rebound girlfriend. She's not, you know, she's not as good as the real one, but, you know, she has to get over it a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it's something like that. But going to the NFC teams, guys, Eagles, I like number five. I don't know. I think you put them at number five. I like number five because that's high enough where you get some players back, some things play out, you can creep up to 3-2.
But yeah, Jason had him at five.
Yeah, I got him at five, yeah.
I had him at four, yeah.
Yeah, it's realistic. I don't know. The one guy called said they're number one. Number one how? With what defensive backfield? With which receivers?
We can't be number one as currently constructed, right, Michael? I mean, look, I hope they end up number one and have the home field advantage like they did back a couple years ago. That'd be great.
That would be awesome. But right now, as they stand, they have a lot of work to do, and I'm just happy that I get to sit back and watch them progress.
Yeah, and you're happy, Michael, too, to sit back and be able to watch a quarterback and have a quarterback like Wentz.
Exactly. Half the teams in the league would want our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The Redskins would want our quarterback right now. The Giants would want our quarterback right now.
The Cowboys would.
Even though Dak was playing pretty well those first three games and they were playing nobody, but even still, they would want. Minnesota would want them. Chicago. Yeah, I even think the Rams, if the Rams could get Wentz, they would have Wentz. So,
you go redraft the 2016 or the 2015 draft.
And do it all over again. Yeah. Carolina right now with Cam Hurt and Kyle Allen. They would want Wentz. So
you could have Cam healthy. I'd still take Wentz. Cam's a mutt, isn't he?
No. Yeah, I feel about him. But.
Yeah. We'll go to Bustleton, talk to Lenny on the Fanatic. What do you say, Len?
What's up? How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Len.
10-9-8.
10-9-8, baby.
10-9-8. Let's go, Birds. I just wanted to give you an Eagles chant and give you my prediction of the game because I was pretty close to last game. I said 37-27. I was pretty close.
Go for it.
Good job, Len.
I'm going to say 42 to
what?
42?
42-20.
42-20?
42-20.
Okay. Oh, you got a lot of points.
I can't see the Jets scoring 20, actually, to be honest with you. I love the 42. Okay. I'm with you there.
42. Oh, what? You're thinking maybe around 10, maybe 12?
I think that they may get 7 or 3.
They could even get down there.
This team offensively, this Jet team, Len, they stink.
Yeah, I know, dude.
We
better come out with a
win. Score by their defense.
I'm actually going to be down there. I won the contest. I'm going to be tailgating with you with Mrs. T's pierogies.
Oh, nice, brother. That's
so
awesome.
I'm going to be down there and get to meet you guys. Last week, you guys kind of hung up on me because I was a little too excited. I'm in the warehouse by myself.
You're in the warehouse. That's good.
Remember me?
Yeah, you got the good echo.
You guys thought I was in the bathroom. I'm in the warehouse.
Oh, yeah, the echo. I love the echo.
Yeah, you're a reverb man.
I do remember the echo. It's a great echo.
All right, give us the chant, Len. Come on.
No, that's just Jason. He's quick on the trigger.
You guys ready? E-I-G-L-E-S, Eagle!
Yes. I love the echo.
Len, you're in the running. As a matter of fact, can we make an executive decision to just give Len the tub of peanut chews for the echo?
It's a great echo.
You want to go with it? Should we do that? Or should we just put him in the mix?
Put him in the mix.
All right, he's in the mix.
Because he's going to be with us on Sunday, so he can't. It's tough to double dip, but he deserves to be in the mix. It's a great echo.
You got peanut chews and a little pierogies. It's a great weekend. Damon in West Philly's on the Fanatic. What's up, Dame?
What's up, Jason? What's up, cuz? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, my brother.
Damon, it's a beautiful fall Friday, isn't it?
It's a beautiful fall Friday. Although it's Friday and I get ready for my birds, but I had to rock my Sixers sweatshirt today, 10-9-8-76ers. I can't wait for the first
three. What's the greeting we like? Now, is it 10-9-8, like our boy just said, like Lenny just said? Is it TTP, trust the process? Or is it clap your hands?
It's clap your hands. That's his problem.
Clap your hands, go birds, the combo platter.
I love it, Jace. I love it, the combo platter. So a couple things, right? I'm listening to this great call, you know, because I'm with you. Like, last night's game was insane, wasn't it?
That was a great game, yeah.
I mean, just the back and forth and the man Thompson with the catch, the interception, that was better than Tyree's catch. It was unbelievable. So here's the thing. I'm looking at Carson. I'm just watching them evolve, man. And people have to just, like you said, watch other quarterbacks, but watch this guy. And let me just say this, because you know how much I was a McNabb fan, right? But I did not have the same confidence with McNabb as far as driving us down the field as I do with Carson. To me, it's early in his career, and I just love that feel. There's no knock on McNabb. I enjoyed him. But I'm just saying, just that aspect of the game, and this guy is only going to get better, man. He's only going to get better. It's only going to get better, so I'm just enjoying. Real quick, guys, can I just tell you guys something?
Yeah.
So Tuesday, I'm listening to the show, and that last, I think it was the last 20 minutes, when Jason says he's laying in bed watching the game and folding clothes, I was in tears. I'm talking about to the point where I almost had to stop the show because I couldn't breathe. That was the best radio. I mean,
that wasn't radio, brother. That was reality, man.
I know, but it was just like, I'm picturing Jason, right? Because Carson's driving down the field and he's folding up T-shirts and stuff like that.
I'll tell you what, too, Dave.
Dude, that's the weirdest thing I've ever done.
Yeah. We're going to put David in the mix for the peanut chew. The funny thing is I've come across an issue with the laundry at the house, and I got to have a sit down with the family, a little family meeting. Because when I'm folding the laundry, what I'm also having to do is inside out the laundry after it's been cleaned. Now, when laundry goes in the washing machine, it should already be inside it out. That's just laziness on the part of the kids and the old lady. Like when you take off your pants or your shirt, you don't leave it inside out. You got to put it right outside in, so now I'm not only folding it in, but I got to inside out everything. You know, the little shorts and the pants and everything else.
Andrew, kill.
Well, I got no
interest.
Nice basket set up for Sunday. I'll be good to go.
I got no interest in talking about your laundry. what your game script is and how you fold laundry.
Some people go with wings and a cocktail. I go with a nice basket of laundry.
Bro, I love you. You're a strange dude.
I'm a little different.
I don't even like the bed thing. I don't even understand that.
I know. Mikey Miss said he watched a game.
He's a bad guy, too.
Yeah, and you were indignant about that. You can't believe it.
Yeah, I don't get the bed thing.
The people of Mikey Miss's pedigree go in bed.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
That knocks them down a peg in your eyes, huh?
Like, you sit up. Like, you're supposed to sit up and watch the game. Like, you know. It's living room, parlor, whatever it is. You know, if you're home watching the game, you know, basement, whatever it is, but not bed.
Anything but bed. 610-632-0975. We are live at Chickie's and Pete's in Marlton. Nice crowd here today, enjoying some lunch.
Great, Chickie's and Pete's.
Yep. A couple cocktails on this beautiful fall Friday. It is the midday show. 610-632-0975. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 12:21, live from Chickies and Pete's in, I was going to say South Philadelphia, Marlton, which is beautiful. All right, we got a game Sunday in South Philadelphia. Cannot wait. We finally got them back, Eagles and Jets. And joining us from ESPN.com, us, of course, and the Embedded Podcast. He is the great Eagles insider, T-Mac. Timmy McManus joins us. What do you say, T-Mac?
What's going on, boys? How you doing today?
Good. You know what's funny? I had a caller call up and say, I'm afraid of the game. I'm afraid of the ghost of Joe Webb.
I guess Luke Falk is the modern day representative of Joe Webb.
I said, I don't even think you need to be worried for this one.
It doesn't seem that way, especially when you take a peek up the turnpike and what's been going on there this week. Apparently, Darnold was getting like the bulk of the first team reps in hopes that the spleen was going to heal up and that he was going to be ready to go for this one, and then they didn't get the test results that they were hoping for, and now you got a guy, Luke Falk, who's got very little experience in this league, that's going in kind of cold up against at least a decent front of a defense. So I don't know that that it's going to be a repeat performance in South Philadelphia this week.
I'm curious. We just had this discussion about Wentz, and let's go back to the offense for a second, because you had a caller who talked about Carson is erratic, is still erratic. And I gotta be honest with you, I was very perplexed. I obviously disagreed and thought, well, you see these receivers, you see the drops. I've watched the tape. I don't think he's been erratic at all. Just curious because I want to kind of keep it real, man. I mean, are you seeing anything with Wentz in his play right now?
I don't see that a little bit. I think that this is the most in control that I've seen Wentz since he's come into the NFL. There's one exception of a game where he was kind of in borderline reckless mode, and that was in Atlanta when he didn't really have any choice, when his weapons just kind of disappeared at the onset of the game, and he kind of had to improvise and kind of go into hero mode a little bit. But otherwise, I think that he's been operating really well within the structure of the offense. I think that his maturity as a quarterback has been on full display, where he's, deciding to check down at the appropriate spot and not always kind of going for the jugular. And I think that he's been a main reason why this team is kind of at the spot where they're in, has been able to survive the early bumps. So, I mean, he has been perfect, and slow starts have been an issue for this offense, period. And Wentz is a part of that. But I think overall, I think that he's been playing about as close to 2017 ball as we've seen. Just with a little bit of added maturity kind of mixed in with it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too, which is why I was kind of surprised. Now, in fairness to the caller, he thought it was most erratic early in games. See, and I kind of look at it, and sometimes I think we expect quarterback play to be perfect. The other aspect is I also think that Doug has to do not to go Andy, but he's got to do a better job with his scripts. And in fairness, the Atlanta game, he lost his guys, so it's been pretty tough to come up with a script. But, you know, like against Green Bay, I didn't understand. You had two good runs, and then you went pass, and didn't use play action in any of them.
And you and I had the conversation leading into the Detroit game that maybe it's just best to run some tempo and put some control into the hands of Wentz. And I think that was pretty effective in that Detroit game. That's exactly what they did, is they ran tempo. And for whatever reason, this offense needs to get lathered up. It seems like, you know, they stay in those scripts. They're trying to read what the opposing defense is doing, and then they find their flow. And they can't, you know, live and die by that for the rest of the year, as the schedule really gets some teeth after this New York game. I mean, they need to be able to start fast. I agree with you. I mean, with Wentz, it almost seems like a player that maybe you just don't want to have a script going in, or at least give him that speed and that control early so he, you know, so he gets into the flow of the game.
Yeah, give him some options, because if you guess wrong, and listen, I think Doug has a good feel as the game goes along. I remember Andy, I thought, was really good at his game scripts. So I think, you know, Doug's kind of more the opposite, where as the game goes on, I think he gets a feel, and I think he works well with Wentz in kind of adapting to what the defense is giving you.
Yeah, and, you know, to their credit, I think they came up with a really nice game plan overall last week against the Packers. You know, the coaching was so good in that one. I think it, you know, essentially saved their season potentially. You know, so credit where it's due, but certainly there's room for improvement early on. This is not something that has just plagued them over the course of the first quarter of this season. It dates back to the entirety of last year. So something that's an ongoing kind of chapter that we have to look at.
All right, let's take a snapshot of the NFC. And this is part of the poll question. I woke up, I was watched Seattle and Rams last night, a good game, and trying to discern where the Eagles are in the among the power teams on the NFC. So you got Seattle, the Rams, the Saints, the Cowboys, the Bears, the Packers, the Vikings, the Niners. I went with those teams. I excluded Carolina, and I excluded Tampa and Detroit. So of those teams, where are the Eagles right now? What's the snapshot look like?
Yeah, I put them above, like, the Niners, and probably a peg below the Saints, and probably right in the middle area with, like, the Vikings, maybe a little bit below Dallas. And so I think, like, the Saints and the Rams and the Seahawks for me are kind of on that first tier, with Dallas just a little bit below them. And then I would probably put Eagles around five right now in that NFC power ranking. That's not really to speak on what I think their potential is, but if we're just being kind of real about how they've played and some of the issues that have been plaguing them defensively, yeah, I think that's pretty fair to put them in that area.
Yeah, I think that's what kind of where we had the same thing, and I think I had them four, but it was the same kind of philosophy. But again, this doesn't mean that they're going to stay four if they get healthy. What's the status, man? Anything bubbling at all? Anything, you know, we get any kind of newsy stuff? You hearing anything? What's going on?
On the trade front, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, on the trade front, you know, I did a decent amount of digging on Jalen Ramsey, what's real, what's not. A couple things. I mean, one, I think that the Eagles are absolutely in on it, if there was something to be in on. But my understanding of it, there's kind of like a wave of feeling out from Jacksonville's side, gathering, you know, what potential trade offers would be. And that wave has crashed. Like they viewed it and they said, you know what? Like, it's probably better off. And the owner stepped in and said, you know, let's try to keep this guy. So they've shut it down. But that's not to say that it can't open back up at some point if Ramsey really digs in and they figure out that it's just not tenable with him moving forward. The second problem is I don't think the Eagles are as in as some other teams are, or another way to put it as would be as willing to open kind of the draft pick vault as a team like the Seahawks or the Chiefs might be. So even if it does kind of reopen, I'm not sure that the Eagles are going to end up being the front runners there. So I'm looking at it like Ramsey's not happening, at least right now. But that, as we know, you and I both know Howie Roseman very well, and you know that he's going to be looking to improve this team between now and the trade deadline. So you're going to be hearing names like Chris Harris pop up, Xavien Howard, Patrick Peterson. You know, those names are going to surface just as potential trade targets, not for just the Eagles, but other teams. And we'll see how real that ends up getting. But I don't really sense that they're there right now. They're kind of looking to see, you know, where the cornerbacks are from a health perspective. I think they feel pretty good about Jalen Mills and Cravon LeBlanc getting back to practicing when they are eligible to. And just hope that they can kind of piece it together while keeping an eye out on the trade market. And obviously, if they need to be aggressive, Howie Roseman can certainly put that hat on.
T-Mac on the Comcast Business Hotline. So let me ask you, Denver, how real is the Denver thing? And you know what's funny? I look at the Broncos, and there's a guy that I want on the offensive side of the ball. Am I out of line to say, if you have a fire sale, I'll take Emmanuel Sanders off your hand
as a safeguard for Jackson?
Yes, you got it.
I can see the logic there. So I just checked in with somebody from Jackson's side, and they thought that he's like a couple weeks away from a return. So we'll see how that plays out. I mean, we're talking.
Does that mean for Minnesota or for Dallas?
You know, I read it as maybe after Minnesota, but I don't know that that's, you know, fully determined. You know, but when you're talking about, from my understanding, is a grade 2 abdominal strain. You know, for a 32-year-old wide receiver, when he does come back, is he going to be 100%? Yeah, probably not. Could it flare up? I mean, you would think so. So I understand your logic, in other words. I mean, but it doesn't seem like they're thinking Jackson is, like, not coming back or anything like that. Like, it seems like he's not quite there yet, but he's working his way back. But on the defensive side, for Denver, if you're not going the wide receiver route and you're looking corners, I guess Harris would make some sense in the fact that I believe he's in the last year of his deal, and he's an older player in his early 30s. And so if Denver does find that they're out of contention, then maybe that's a guy that does make sense to move on from. So I don't think
that's you have the Von Miller thing, too.
Yeah. I don't think we're quite there yet. But, you know, this is probably something where, you know, most teams are trying to hold out some hope that they're still in it to some extent. And so we're probably, you know, as we get closer, if the Broncos keep losing, then it probably gets a little bit more real.
T-Mac, great stuff as always, my brother. Embedded. Make sure you get that podcast. It is the gold, the radio gold.
I appreciate that, man. Always good talking to you.
Always a pleasure, bro. Thanks, man. T-Mac. Love T-Mac. Does a great job. See, I still like the Emmanuel Sanders thing. Tunis?
Yeah, I love when you brought that up yesterday. I thought that was a great idea because he is a security blanket if DeSean Jackson goes down again. But he could also play the slot. So if DeSean Jackson is in and he's playing on the outside, Alshon Jeffrey on the other outside, Sanders is a good slot receiver there.
Exactly.
And then Nelson Agholor doesn't have to play as much.
Exactly. You know, how much better are you? And think about this. If you have Emmanuel Sanders to go with Alshon and DeSean, and Agholor is your fourth receiver, like, really? Like, you are, with those tight ends and mixing and matching, and then, you know, Sanders out of the backfield and Sproles, I think your offense could take you to a Super Bowl that way.
Yeah, talk about an elite offense. That's it right there.
Right?
And then,
why wouldn't you? And this is what I understand. See, now, like, I know people go, well, you know, they get gun shy, like, really, Sanders? You know, if DeSean can play, why go there? You know, you can still upgrade from Nelson Agholor.
Yeah, you upgrade from Agholor, plus you get a guy with playoff experience. I mean, Sanders was doing it when Peyton Manning was out there.
He's sure-handed. He's not going to cost you a ton to get either.
No, and all of a sudden then defenses have to play really pass-heavy. So then that also makes guys like Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders more effective because they're playing to defend the pass more often.
I know. I don't understand it. I don't know. We got Mike Garafolo coming up as well in the 1 o'clock hour, as of Mikey, because he's a good league guy, if he heard much out of Denver. But it's funny, I still think offense, man. I'm still on the offense train. I know they need help in the secondary, I get it. I mean, they need help along the defensive front. But I think if you're really going to win, you're going to win by by outscoring people.
Yeah, I mean, just look at what happened last night. That was Rams Seahawks, and we always talk about how great the Seahawks defense is. Well, that was an offensive production yesterday.
That defense isn't what that's not the Legion of Boom. That's
no, not
a
at all.
Defense,
except they do with Clowney.
I mean, they went up except for Clowney. But look, the Rams went up. The Rams should have won the game if Zerline doesn't miss a 44-yard field goal.
Yeah, and that's usually easy for him.
Yeah, he's got to get the, you know, what's that? What's the nickname? Greg the Leg. Yeah. John in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Johnny.
Hey, Anthony, how you doing, buddy?
Good, brother.
Hey, how good does it feel to put on the hoodie for the first time of the year?
I got an Eagles hoodie on right now, brother.
I was so happy this morning when I put it on. I had a blanket I used to carry around when I was a kid. It was like the same thing. It's just like security, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I know. It's pretty awesome.
It's a beautiful day, man. I called about the Wentz call. I've got a family member who is. It just, I can always hear the agenda in their voice when they talk, and it's so annoying. I don't understand it. It's the weirdest thing I think I can recall in Philadelphia sports. Like, Carson Wentz is a great dude. He's playing great quarterback right now, and there's still dudes that are out there trying to pick him apart. And I guess it's because of the Foles thing, but like. It just, to me, I look at it from like a big picture thing, like it seems like a cultural thing. Like there are, with, you know, fantasy sports and all that, there's a collection of sports fans right now that are more consumed by being correct and right about something than actually rooting for like their home team and their home quarterback. The Wentz haters, like I think some of them would almost prefer the Eagles not to win the Super Bowl this year and Wentz to fail so they could go, oh, I told you so. Like, I don't understand it.
You
man.
Think
it,
so?
I'm hoping that
that's not the case.
Yeah.
But I hear you. I mean, you know, sometimes, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and think that what they recall in their mind's eye about Foles is like perfection. So they think quarterback play is perfection.
Yeah.
Like, they're delusion in that sense when, you know,
yeah,
he got hot
totally
for a few
delusional.
Games. Right.
It's totally delusional. Like, I was sitting there with my buddy, and we're watching the game, and he's one of these guys, you know, like Wentz needs to be completely perfect for him to root for the guy. And, like, he made six great passes in a row, and then there's one he throws, you know, low.
Yeah, he's behind. Right.
Like,
right.
See his eyes? Like, he's not this. He's not that. It's like this.
Right.
Like,
exactly. It's funny because you almost want to give people the exercise of, hey, watch Brady and then tell me, you know, chart every throw. Like,
yeah,
not every throw is on the money. There's certain throws you're going to miss.
That's a part of it, too. I think you guys talked about that last week. Like, people only see Brady's highlights. They don't see his incompletions, you know what I mean? And other quarterback highlights. But, it blows my mind. And one more thing about the Sixers.
Yeah, bro.
Are you, like, last year when they played the Celtics, you've got a hatred for the Celtics like I do.
Yeah.
Like, I was always, like, last year when they played the Celtics, I was nervous, you know, all year. Every time they played, they've had our number for 2 years. Now that we have Al Horford, I don't feel nervous anymore facing them. He was the cog, you know, teaching those young guys how to
play. I completely agree.
He's gone now, you know.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm with you. I think there's
see him in a Sixers uniform.
Yeah, you weaken them dramatically. You get better, and I just think the Sixers will smother that team.
Yeah,
smother them. I'm with you. Good stuff, brother. Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it. Nick in Norristown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nicky, what do you say, brother?
How you doing?
Good, Nick.
I'm good. I just want to talk about Wentz. All right. Yeah. I don't think he's got it anymore.
You don't think he has it anymore?
I don't think he has no control.
No control of what?
Of the offense. He's got to put more of the receivers in. You got Jeffries over there, number one receiver. He can't get him in a game.
What are you talking about?
I have not seen him put Jeffries in the game in 4 weeks.
Alshon Jeffery was hurt. You realize that, right?
Yeah, but I feel like he's forcing too much to Ertz and not throwing around. You got Aguilar.
Yeah, you got to watch the game, cuz. I can't help
you. He wasn't in the game 2 weeks ago.
I know. Listen.
And he wasn't 100% last week.
Listen, you can't get upset by people like Nick.
Come on.
I mean, you can. You drive yourself insane.
No, but here's the thing, Anthony. And listen, I see the greatness in Carson Wentz, unlike a lot of people.
You just got to move on. You just got to go, hey, Nick, I can't help you. I'll see you later, bud.
But I'm going back
go
to just
find another hobby.
Last week when
football's not your deal.
When I did the post game show after the Packers game, and okay, Carson Wentz made a bad throw late in that game. Remember, it was a 3rd and 5. He had Alshon Jeffrey open going toward the flat, and he missed him. It would have been a first down.
Right.
The game, the clock would have kept on going. Game would have ended up being over. But then the Packers got the ball back. Rodgers, then the red zone stop happened. The goal line stop happened. All I heard from people during the postgame show was, well, if Wentz made that throw, blah, blah, blah. Instead of saying the other good things that he did, it was focused heavily on that one throw.
Well, but again, they've been ruined, I think, by Foles in their mind's eye. Here's the thing. If Nick had called with that sentiment last year, I go, okay. But if you don't even know that Alshon Jeffrey was hurt, then what's there to talk about? I mean, you're clearly ignorant. I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, if you don't know that Alshon Jeffrey was hurt and you still think he's heavily relied upon Ertz, I guess you didn't watch the game.
Can I tell you a story?
Like, what are you going to say?
Can I tell you a story of what happened after week one when the Eagles won and he looked great in the second half, Carson Wentz did?
Yeah,
I was getting an Uber ride home because I had a few pops after postgame. And I'm getting an Uber ride back. And then all of a sudden, I'm talking to the Uber driver. He goes, are you an Eagles fan? I'm like, yeah, of course I am. He goes, they kept the wrong guy. I'm like, what do you mean? They should have kept Foles. I'm like, no, they shouldn't have. And I go, but Wentz looked pretty good in the second half today. He goes, oh, did he? Sorry, I fell asleep. I didn't watch the game. Well, dude, then don't talk to me. Don't talk Eagles with me if you fell asleep during the game.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You can't get freaked out. So, trust me. You got a long career. You can't let people who have whacked out opinions, you got to laugh at them. I mean, at some point, you laugh at him or you just move on because it's a waste of time.
Yeah, I ended the conversation pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, like, what are you going to say? You know, whatever, dude. You know, you fell asleep. You want to argue a point where you were sleeping. All right. Like, what sense does that make? That's like Nick. Like, what sense did that call make?
Zero.
You know, other than to embarrass yourself in front of Delaware Valley. Like, if I was one of Nick's friends, I call him up and go, yo, dude.
Man, I haven't seen Wentz throw to Jackson since week one.
How
come Deshaun hasn't gotten a target since week one? Carson must be ignoring him.
Dude, listen, Flyers start at 1. Get on board, baby. Go do something, but football's not your ticket. I mean, come on. Seriously. It's ridiculous. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. It's the Midday Show. We're live at Chickies and Pizza.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 12:53, live Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. You get your sheet, Tunis?
Well, for my picks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I got to square it away.
So you have the record? You have the records?
Yes, I'll go out. Well, hold on. Give me 1 minute,
Come
actually.
Come on, man. I need the records, man. You know, and here's the truism of life. You only ask for the records when you're off to a good start.
Yes, exactly.
If you're off to a bad start, you ignore the records because that's how you do it. We got Flyers hockey coming up at 2 o'clock right here from Prague.
That's awesome.
Flyers and Blackhawks. I can't wait. Chickies and Pete's be watching the game. Everybody be freaking out here at Chickies and Pete's. watching a little Flyer hockey. It's good to have the boys, the orange and the black back. I saw Trey Thomas earlier. Trey had one of these awesome, that black jersey.
The one that they wore in the stadium series last year.
Yeah, dude, that's a great jersey. I'm not excited for Flyers. I think they're going to be exciting. I hope Vigneault is got them playing, up and down. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, the way Jason talks about it, they should be exciting. I remember watching last year, and I was bored. I was bored watching that team. And they're supposed to be high-flying, a lot of offense this season, so at least it'll be entertaining.
It's amazing, man.
The only thing that I'm
concerned... was such a mess.
It was such a mess. But the one thing I'm concerned about, and Jason was breaking down the offense and the defense as well for me, and he was saying that Carter Hart's going to be alone a lot this year. And if he is as good as what he's supposed to be, then that should be a good thing. But if he's a little shaky early, he's going to get a lot of shots on goal with not that much defensive help.
Yeah, you probably expect that early to be the case, you know?
I got your sheet, by the way.
What do you got?
So you're 20-8 on the season.
20-8?
Through 3 weeks, because we didn't do picks last week, because Football Friday was the reaction to the Packers.
We couldn't do that, yeah.
Right, so you went 7-2 in week three to go 20-8 on the year. I went 5-4 in week three. I'm 18-8 on the season. And Jason
18-8?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Wow, dude, that's awesome.
Jason is 11-9 on the season. He did text me his picks, so I will also give his, so they're on the record during our pick segment today.
All right, I like it. Sounds good. Let me get Justin and Phoenixville up here, and we're going to be talking a little Sixer basketball at the top of the hour with Sixers president Chris Heck. Looking forward to all that right. as well. Justin in Phoenixville. Justin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Hey there, cuz. How you doing?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I was calling in today because I'm happy to be back in Philadelphia. I'm from the area, lived here for years, and then it was gone for 15 all around the country, and it's great to get back to the Philadelphia area. I moved back a year and a half ago, living in all these areas where they think they have good sports fans, and you're just like, guys, you have no idea what a good sports fan is until you come to a city like Philadelphia. But on the same side of that, man, we've got some diehard people that love their sports, but some of these people are just absolute morons when it comes to talking about Carson Wentz. We finally get a quarterback that is a prolific true number one franchise starter that can take us to the Super Bowl and do it regularly. He's got all the tools, all the talent, and we're on his, you know, we're jumping all over him for stuff that's like not even really happening. You know?
Yeah, it's they're inventing things, Justin. Indeed. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the one game against Detroit, right? We don't drop 7 balls and 2 touchdowns. He throws for like 360 yards and 4 touchdowns, which exactly. would be like 150 quarterback rating, right? And the only game that wasn't statistically like off the charts was last week when we ran for 180 yards, and he didn't need to throw for 350.
Exactly.
So, I mean, he's the guy we need. He's the guy that is going to take us to where we're going. I mean, I love the way he plays hard. He hustles, and he's learning how to be a smarter NFL quarterback and not take as many big hits, but still use his feet and be athletic. So I don't know what people are talking about when they're dissing him, because he's the man.
Listen, you don't have to be, well, Carson Wentz is off limits to criticism. Of course not. But don't invent it, right? Don't tell me that he hasn't played well. I'm not telling you he's Montana, but come on, man, the dude's played well. Yeah. Why don't you, for the life of me, Justin, I don't understand why people root against him. And I swear to you, there are people out there that, want to see him fail. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the captain of our ship. He fails, we fail. So why the hell would you want that? And the other thing I wanted to note is, look, the NFL, it's a new game, right? The preseason has nothing to do about getting ready for the season. It's all about fine-tuning the guys that can get onto your 53-man roster, right? So the new NFL is not about – preseason's irrelevant, right? The first month of the season is actually the preseason now, unfortunately. So you have guys that are finally trying to get their gel, they're getting their rhythm. And at the NFL level, it's ridiculous how tight those windows and margins are. And it takes time to get that flow, and unfortunately it takes a month. And we're actually starting our season full throttle kind of right now because of the way the new NFL is. And I think that we got a great team, and I think we're in for a tremendous final three quarters of the year.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother. Good call, man. Thank you, Justin. Have a great one, buddy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.